Please have a great lunch. We have a great program, and I'm going to give this mic over to our program chair for Guide Dog Users of California and our newly elected vice president, Alice McGrath.
She's right here. She's over here.
She's right. She's up at this table here.
She's up next to Ken.
I'm here. Does anyone need me over there? Okay, good morning, folks. Good job, John. It's good afternoon. What we're going to do is get started with introductions in the room. So I will have a volunteer who I think is here from the exhibit hall. He or she will take the mic around. If you will be able to kindly say your name and the name of your guide dog and also what school your guide dog is from. And then we'll find out who it is that we're having lunch with. And then I'll introduce our speaker after that. Okay, here we go. I guess I'll start. My name is Alice McGrath. I'm from the Silicon Valley chapter in Santa Clara. And I am here with my guide dog, Cora, who is from Guide Dogs for the Blind.
I can indeed. I don't know where your volunteer is, so I'll help you with the microphone. It's Patty from GDA.
Hi, I'm Rosa Gomez, and I'm here with my guide dog, Elise, and she's from Guide Dogs, and I'm also with the Department of Rehabilitation.
And on the guide dog board.
This is Judy Wilkinson. I'm just the newly elected president of the California Council, and I'm a proud member of Guide Dog Users. And my guide dog, Carly, the mischievous, is a seeing eye dog, and she'll be 8 at the end of July. And she's been with me for, 6 years now.
I'm proud to say I'm a new member. My name is John Vandervoort. I got my dog from GDA, and here's a little interesting thing. My dog's name is Chase, C-H-A-C-E, no S, not a bankster. And when I tried to explain this to Ken Metz yesterday, he had a little hard time processing this. I'm sure he'll have something to say. I thought I would at least get a laugh out of him, but didn't quite go that way. Didn't quite happen.
And I'm Ken Metz. I thought he was J.P. Morgan. Ken Metz, president, Guide Dog Users of California. I have my dog, Kari, with me. You heard Carly before, but this is Kari. She is a black female Labrador retriever, almost 7 years old now. And thank you, and have a great lunch.
When you came in, you were supposed to have been asked your name. It was been put on a paper for a door prize drawing. That did not happen and you did not get your name on one, please raise your hand. Somebody will come and get your name. We'll get you in the drawing.
Hi, I'm Pamela Metz, and I am on the board of directors for CCB, and I'm just newly elected for one year on GDUC's board. I have a female black lab named Gatsby. G-A-T-S-B-Y. She is 2 years old. I just got her in January. And all I can say about Gatsby is she is a little pistol.
All right.
Hi there.
Oh, we got food? Okay.
Good afternoon. It's Pat Bogard. It's my guide dog, Rosetta. She's from Guide Dogs for the Blind. She's 7 years old, and she's the cutest dog in the room.
Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yep. My name is Joseph, and I have Mike Kane as my guide dog. Have a good day.
Did you want to introduce yourself? Okay. I'm going to get
get you right when you put food in your mouth. We're chewing. One moment. Are you ready? Are you ready? You want to introduce yourself? No? I'll come back, okay? All right. I'll come back. He's chewing. Oh, you're chewing as well. Let me start over here. You good?
Yeah.
Okay. Getting everybody mid-salad.
I'm Frank Welty, and my guide dog is Jeep from Guide Dogs for the Blind.
All right. Next.
Hi, I'm Vita Zavali. My guide dog's name is Violet, and she's seeing eye dog.
My name is John McCann, and my mobility aid is McCain, kind of like the senator, but no, I'm not a guide dog user at the time. Probably, you know. That I'm using a stick that I beat the earth in front of me with.
Ready? All right, my dear.
I am Margie Donovan with my sixth seeing eye dog, German Shepherd, Groton or Groton, depending on where you're from.
I'm Vivian Younger, and my guide dog's name is Alani, and we'll be together 6 months as of next week. And this is dog number 7.
My name is Marcia Durance. I have Moxie, Yiddish for attitude, and Ishi is. She is my fourth in 36 years, and I'm from San Rafael, Guide Dogs for the Blind.
Thank you. I'm starting over here, troublemaker. It's Patty.
Hi, this is Guillermo Robles, and I have Monty, who is 2 years old, and I got him from Guide Dogs of America.
Hi, my name is Aisha Wendt, and I do not have a dog right now. I just lost my... Okay.
You can do it.
I just lost my Golden Lab Retriever, Toro. Me and Toro were a team for 10 years, and he touched a lot of lives and people in my life, and he will be greatly missed. I have a poem. It is called Remember Me. And it says, remember me with smiles and laughter, for I will remember you that way. And if you can only remember me with tears and sorrow, then don't remember me at all. So I'll always remember him with smiles and laughters and all of the funny things he used to do.
Okay.
My name is Edel Galavis. I do not have a dog yet, but I have a friend that just got one on Monday, and it fascinated me, so the process and all, and I'd like to learn a little more about this. Thank you. Have a good lunch.
Did you want to introduce yourself?
Yes. Hi, my name is Jordan Miranda. I do not have a dog. I use a cane, and I'm from Corona, California. I attend classes at Moreno Valley College.
Hi, everyone. It's Linda Perel, and I am with my 4-year-old black lab, my first guide dog, Terrible Tamar, T-A-M-A-R. And she's terrible only because she took advantage of the fact that I was in resolutions until 3 a.m., and this morning when I wandered into the shower and inadvertently left my blueberry muffin on the nightstand, she helped herself.
My
My name is Lorene Devaney, and I don't have a guide dog, but I did help with my friend's guide dog, Pluto, for 3 years. And unfortunately, he passed away in April of 2012.
I'm Beth Berenson, and I'm here because I'm auntie to Tamar, and also Jeep and Violet, and also Carly. I don't have a dog because I'm too busy being, you know, auntie to them. And I do use a cane.
Thank you. Lynn?
My name is Lynn Coates, and I have Goofy Kendall from Guide Dogs of America. He is an almost 8-year-old black Labrador.
Hi, my name is Evelyn Drury, and I have a female, my first female. She is my fifth dog, and her name, she's a black lab. Her name is Prim, and I tell people Prim in name only. And sure, my name is Proper, so we're Prim and Proper, right?
Perfect.
Right. And she's from Guide Dogs of the Desert.
I'm Ed Crespin, and I'm going to hand you over to my wife, Christy.
This is Christy Crespin, and he has me and Caroline, and that's way more than enough. Caroline is an 8.5-year-old Labradoodle, and she's my 8th guide dog, and she's from Guide Dogs of the Desert. And she's a little cutie crazy girl.
Hi, everybody. This is Nellie Emerson, and I'm a member of the Active Blind Inland Valleys chapter, and I am in the company of Atticus, a male German Shepherd from Seeing Eye, and he is 4.5 years old.
I'm Debbie Sands. I worked at Guide Dogs of America for 17 years. Left in 2010, and in 2011, I started a service animal accessibility education business.
Yay!
I'm Charlene Arnellis. My current dog is from Guide Dogs of America, who's now at home resting and recovering from playing. He is a golden retriever, and he's my 9th dog, my 5th from from GDA.
Good afternoon. My name's Keith Tomlinson. I'm a field manager with Guide Dogs for the Blind.
My name's Megan Dunn. I'm an apprentice instructor at Guide Dogs of the Desert.
Trina Vervoren, Director of Canine Development and Training, Guide Dogs of the Desert.
And your microphone passer was me, Patty Elizondo from Guide Dogs of America.
Okay. Apparently, I just missed the mic at my table. When, but I'm Leslie Tom, and I'm from, got my dog Custer. He's a general. And he's a yellow lab from Guide Dogs for the Blind. He's my 6th dog.
Did you want to introduce yourself to the room? Would you like to introduce yourself?
Say hello.
Yeah, I'm Mike Keithley. I've had 4 dogs, but I don't have a dog right now. So when I talk about my dog, I talk about my last dog, King, who we had to put down in 2004. But he's still around. He's under the table.
Fantastic. Thank you. Did you introduce yourself? Oh, you have one.
Okay. Did you need this back for me?
Could you have the...
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, and there is one up there already.
Oh, she wants everyone to introduce. Okay. You're on.
Good afternoon. My name is Pete Woolcott. I feel like I'm a thorn among all these roses. I don't have a guide dog. I have a service dog. I'm from Canine Companions for Independence. And we all have some similar issues to work with, and that's one of the things I'm going to be talking about. I have a black lab named Connor. He's 8 years old, and we've been together since November of 9. And I'm here with my wife of going on 22 years. I've got a story with regard to that that I'll tell you in a few minutes. My wife, my lovely wife's name is Linda, and we're both retired educators. So continue to enjoy your lunch, and I'll let Alice give me a more formal introduction.
So what I'd like to do is have us begin with our reports from our wonderful representatives from the guide dog schools. And it's uncanny. I'm going to call on someone and most likely they're going to be chewing. So let's give it a go and see what happens. How about the representative from Guide Dogs of America? If we can begin with your report, that would be great. And then, Patricia,
I guess I should have kept the mic. All right, this will be quick and sweet. Guide Dogs of America, we are, we have class in session right now. Nine individuals getting their guide dogs, so very exciting. We have a new building that's actually finally being built. This has been... on the table for a while, and it will be a visitor center as well as incorporated into a class. We do a lot of tours at our location, so this is going to be the initial entry for individuals who come to do tours and learn about Guide Dogs of America. In addition, it will expand our graduation area as well. Every graduation we have, we are overflowing into other areas, so this will help corral the masses. We're looking to have this completed this year, right around September, barring any weather issues. So we will be having a dedication in the fall for the new building. What else is new? We are going to be adding, as many of you may or may not know, we typically do 4 classes a year and then 1 class for retrained students in between Thanksgiving and Christmas. We are going to be adding additional classes to our curriculum in 2017. So we will looking for a spring class and something in the earlier fall. And I think for 2017, there'll be 2 additional classes that we're adding. We do have a new apprentice as well as 8 licensed instructors. Actually, and another apprentice who's going to be testing very soon in our training department. And any Guide Dogs of America graduates who would like to volunteer for events, I had a graduate here at our table yesterday representing us. Please contact me because I'd love to have you out in the field, perhaps traveling to some conventions for Guide Dogs of America. All righty. Thank you. Mid-bite? Are you mid-bite? Are you clear?
I guess, yeah.
You're clear? You're clear.
Good afternoon. My name's Keith Tomlinson, and probably the most recent development at Guide Dogs are 2 things, really. One, there have been a number of apprentices at both campuses that they've added to kind of ramp up the training staff. Classes are still 2 weeks at both the San Rafael campus and the Oregon campus. The major project in San Rafael in the next year and a half is the new puppy kennel that'll be for moms and the young pups. So it's a complete new building and kennel facility. There's a whole neonatal staff that's just for the moms, and there's new programs that they're trying to help improve development with even younger puppies. As far as one thing I read just in the last week was a program they're trying so that at, even at 3 weeks of age, they're getting the pups out of their particular kennel area with the moms to other areas so they learn to have housebreaking habits at an even earlier age. So I thought that's pretty progressive. It takes a lot of staff time, but it helps as they go into the puppy homes. So if you, we have a booth here, so stop by in the exhibit hall and say hi, and I'll hand the mic to Trina. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's Trina Vervorn with Guide Dogs of the Desert. Some of the biggest changes happening at the desert are adding staff. We're looking to add another 2 licensed instructors as well as another apprentice. Bob Windler says hello. He's currently in class. And we have 2 apprentices on board that we've added in the last 6 months. That's Megan Dunn, who's with me today, and Noah Trevor, who's currently in class. We are looking to bring back the Golden Retrievers to our stock. We're still working with the Labradors, the German Shepherds, and the Standard Poodles. And we are looking to continue our breeding colony and add additional classes per year as well. Thank you.
Okay, before I introduce the speaker, I'm wondering if there's an engineer in the room. Okay. Is Louis here, Ken? Well, we have a DVD that we're going to show, and the engineer was supposed to set that up, so... We may unfortunately it looks as if the DVD might not happen. Okay. We don't have a computer to play it on, do you? No, it was just gonna be the sound. Are you okay with that, Pete? We had requested something to show a DVD.
Oh, I never got that request.
Okay, no problem. Yeah. You don't have a computer to show, like a laptop to listen to the
Louis
audio.
Louis was supposed to bring. Let me go see if he can, if we can scrounge something up really quick.
Let me just ask the speaker, Pete. Are you okay with doing it without the DVD? Okay, it will be fine. Okay, so what I'd like to do is to introduce, you've met him already, just as far as a brief introduction. We at GDUC, as you know, one of our main interests is advocacy. That's our mission. And in order to do that, it's important that we know about other schools and programs that provide training for service animals. And just by some clapping or tapping on the table, how many people have heard about Canine Companions? Absolutely. It is a remarkable program. Their headquarters, I believe, is in Santa Rosa, but then they also have a satellite office in this area, and we are lucky enough to have one of the graduates of the program, Pete, who is going to talk to us about just the program itself, his own personal experiences, and in addition to that, how he and Connor work together. So if you will help me in welcoming our wonderful speaker, I will turn the mic over to Pete.
Well, thank you again, Alice. As I said, my name is Pete Wolcott. I'm here with my wife, Linda, and Connor, my black lab 8-year-old service dog. We've been together since November of 2009, and as soon as Linda found out we were going to have a black lab, the first thing she did was to go out and buy black sheets. So she doesn't have to realize how much hair there is in the bedroom. In any case, I've been with Canine Companions first as a volunteer, beginning way back in 1990, and I got my first service dog, a golden retriever, yellow lab mix, a little bitch. And being an educator, I love to tell that to the kids and hear all the gasps in the room when I say, you can't say that word. Well, actually, I can, because it is the correct term for a female dog. So they got over that. But anyway, Linda and I, when I was first in team training the first time back in 1992, one of the things they told us at CCI is these dogs are chick magnets. And for you ladies, they're guy magnets. But I didn't really believe it. But at that time, I was a substitute teacher, and I had my first dog. I have cerebral palsy, and I have been that way since birth. I use a wheelchair now. For many years, I used to pound around on crutches, but that's the reason I have a service dog. And they told us these dogs were chick magnets, and I wasn't married at the time, but I didn't really worry too much about it. And I was substitute teaching at one of the middle schools here in San Diego Unified School District, and there was this head guidance counselor that she just kind of kept showing up in my classroom. And one day, my dog was supposed to be on a down stay, and we had been kind of dating on the down low and hadn't told anybody too much about it. But Taran, that was her name, she got up out of a down stay and walked over to Linda, and Linda's a little over 5 feet tall, and Taran reared up on her hind feet and put her front paws on Linda's shoulders, and it was like, "Hi, Mom." And the kids' eyes just got as big as saucers because they'd never seen anything like that. And Linda, to her great credit, said, "Well, when dogs know dog people, they respond." So she got out of that one pretty well. But as far as Canine Companions is concerned, I know that the guide dog program goes back way more than a century. As service animals go, CCI is the oldest provider of service dogs for individuals with disabilities other than blindness. And they provide four types of dogs. My type is a service dog, and that's generally given to an older child above an older person, at least 18 years of age or older, who is able to control the dog on their own. A second type that they provide is called a skilled assistance dog, which is essentially a service dog, but it's usually given to a younger child to act as a companion and as a kind of an icebreaker around other people, because as we all know, our dogs are tremendous magnets for attention when we're out in public. And so having a skilled assistance dog is also an effort to provide children with a mechanism where other children will be willing to come and interact with that person
which is one of their goals, but also to socialize the dog even more so in every kind of environment. These dogs, our dogs, similarly to guide dogs, are also trained for 2 years. We have volunteer puppy raisers that have the dogs for about 18 months, and they are tasked with basic commands, and they go to weekly puppy classes with our professional instructors. And then for the last 6 months, the dogs go to one of our six regional training centers around the United States for professional level training, where they learn the balance of the 40 commands that each dog will learn. And essentially these are retrieve commands, to carry things in their mouths, to put their paws up on counters, to deliver money if the person is buying something in a store, all these kinds of things that, a person with a disability would have a hard time to do. And that was the idea. Dr. Bonnie Bergen started Canine Companions in 1975. She had an acquaintance or close friend who was a high quad. She was paralyzed from the neck down, and she was aware of guide dogs, and she kind of had a brainstorm one day and said, well, you know, they have guide dogs for blind people. Why don't they create dogs to help people with disabilities? And so she was the first trainer of the very first CCI dog, and it wasn't really known as CCI officially at that point, but they've quickly became organized, and they've been in business now as the oldest service dog provider in the United States. And it's my understanding now that there are more than 70 other organizations providing service dogs other than you folks who all have guide dogs. These other organizations provide service dogs. They also provide, there's four types. There's service dogs, there's skilled assistance dogs, there's hearing dogs for people who are have hearing deficits. And the fourth variety is a facility dog. And facility dogs generally live with one person who works in, say, a rehabilitation facility, or we have them in hospitals, that the person takes the dog to that facility every day to interact with the patients and provide a little puppy love, as it were, to patients within their organization. They don't have the same access in public that a service dog does. Service dogs, of course, as with guide dogs, have the ability to go anywhere the public is otherwise authorized to go. Interestingly, I don't know whether this is, if any of you are from the San Diego area, there is one restriction that they do have here in San Diego. They don't want the dogs in the zoo because they feel that the dogs would otherwise disrupt the big cats. So they do have kennels outside the zoo for people to put their dogs in temporarily, and then they can get the dogs back. But that's the only place that I'm aware of anywhere in the country that service dogs have been restricted. But they've got a legitimate reason for it, and so that's the only area that I've been aware that that's the case. I know that there's been a lot of issue in the news lately about people being refused access and people being tossed off airplanes, hopefully not at 30,000 feet, for having a service animal. And this is a major issue, and it's one thing that Alice and I were speaking about before the luncheon here, is that we do have a common problem, if you will, in terms of educating, especially the business community, that dogs have access. And another major problem that I've been working with the, I was working with the executive director for CCI up in Santa Rosa. He has since retired. He's a man by the name of Corey Hudson. And we were working on the issue of people who have make a claim of a service animal or a companion animal that it's just their family pet. And they take that dog out in public and the dog becomes a public nuisance and, you know, otherwise creates a problem. And then people in for people with disabilities, they say, well, you can't kick me out because I've got a disability, and if you do, I'll sue you. So, of course, the business owners hear the word lawsuit, and then they get all scared. But the truth of the matter is what we need to do is educate the public, and especially the business community, in the idea that if a dog, any dog, and that includes any of our own dogs, is a disruption in public, then that business owner has the right to ask us to remove ourselves and our dog from their premises, because the dogs are meant as our guide dogs and service dogs to be as unobtrusive as possible. We've had numerous experiences, Linda and I, when we've gone out to a restaurant to eat and we have Connor go under the table and, you know, of course, he would like all kinds of tidbits. If there's anything that lands on the floor, he claims it. But we've had numerous instances where people would say, when we got up to leave, they say, I didn't know there was a dog under the table. And we say, exactly right. That's the whole idea. These dogs are meant to be of use and service to ourselves, but to be as unobtrusive as possible, to not disturb anyone else in going about their daily tasks. So that, I think, is a common issue, whether it's a service dog, a guide dog, any other kind of service animal. Now, they do have, there is, I know that you are probably aware that there is one aspect that ADA does not consider companion animals to qualify with the same access that service dogs or guide dogs have. And I think that's another area that probably needs to be addressed, because companion animals under ADA do not qualify for the same access rules. And those two areas, the educating of the business community and the idea that dogs are able to go wherever they need to go, is really something that needs to be addressed in the long run. And if we all decide we're going to work together, as Benjamin Franklin famously said when he was referring to the people who were signing the Declaration of Independence, he said, gentlemen, we must all hang together, or most assuredly we will all hang separately. So we're kind of in the same aspect, that if the public, and we're talking primarily the business public, has negative experiences with people who claim to have a service animal and it's really just their family pet, and the pets create a disturbance, eventually, over the long haul, you know, the old saying, it only takes one bad apple to spoil the whole barrel. Well, we don't want the situation to occur where there are so many instances of fake assistance animals being pawned off as service animals that the business community eventually says, I don't care whether you say you got a guide dog or a service dog, that dog isn't coming in my store. And that's the last thing we want to see happen, because access, whether you have a guide dog or a service dog, is really critical to everyone's quality of life. And so we do have a common necessity to pool our resources, if you will, and pool our abilities to go out and educate the public. And I try to do that wherever I go, because these dogs do kind of tend to draw a crowd. And one of the things I used to do as when I was teaching is I always made a point to tell the kids, you know, if you ever see a guide dog, don't even make eye contact with that dog, because that guide dog is that person's eyes. And I said, if it's something other than a guide dog, you must always ask before you go up to pet the dog. And of course, that's absolutely true with a guide dog. So I was always very cognizant of the fact that guide dogs have a even more restrictive aspect about them with regard to people interacting. So I've put that word out. And like I say, in the long run, if we all work together, it'll be better for everybody. And I want to thank you, Alice. Oh, absolutely. If you got questions, yeah. As I used to tell the kids, one at a time, everybody has to be patient.
Pete, you may have said this, and I might have been distracted, but how long is the training program for you and your service dog?
You know, it's funny. When I first came to CCI, it was a three-week program, and they used to call it boot camp. And that kind of got a bad connotation over the years. So today, the CCI program for training is 2 weeks, and it's 6 days a week for the two-week period. And on the third day of training is when the matches are made. And I've been doing this long enough that I can pretty well tell after the first day which dog I'm going to end up with, and I've been right for the last three times. That's how they do it. And we've been very fortunate in Southern California at our Oceanside Southwest Region facility. If any of you are familiar with the mystery writer Dean Koontz, he and his wife Gerda have been tremendous multi-million dollar donors to Canine Companions. And they built us a wonderful dormitory facility that's completely handicapped accessible. And we have a training facility. We stay there for the entire 2 weeks, and at the end of the 2 weeks, we have a graduation. So that's been a tremendous blessing, because we have a central facility. We used to have to always go to local motels in the area and then come back to the center every day. So that has really been a boon to our program to have that. Did you have another question, Alice? Okay.
Hi, it's Margie. I just want to acknowledge CCI. When we called upon them to join us in our legislative pursuits this year, AB 1824, which many of us know will enhance the penalties for tax on service animals, they were right there. They were ready to come to the Capitol. And it's wonderful to be working with you guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Marcia. I live down here in San Diego. And I don't know who you talk to over at the zoo, but we've been members. Well, I've had dogs for 36 years, and they allow the dogs in. You have to go through the security office, and they give you a neckerchief for the dog, so it's identified as you've gone through the office. They let everybody. The only place you cannot go in the zoo is the aviary, where the birds are, and the petting zoo for the kids.
Well, and I appreciate that clarification.
Yeah.
Goes to show how recently I've been to the zoo.
Yeah. And you know, if they say, well, what service does your dog provide? I mean, part of yours is for anxiety, but, you know, obviously if you're in a wheelchair, yours is more of a, you know, a self-explanatory
condition.
Yeah,
it's kind
condition.
Of a dead giveaway.
Yeah, but you shouldn't have any issue at all going through the security officer office and registering in there. And just stop in every time you go in and say, okay, I'm bringing my dog in. And actually, they have said to us, please, if there are any issues, let us know how the animals respond. Because they do have animals in the zoo. They have a cheetah lab combination where the dog is actually a companion to one of the cheetahs there.
Right.
And so they do work with dogs, and they are very interested in seeing how the animals will respond to our dogs when they go in.
I'm glad you provided that clarification. Like I said, it shows how recently I've been to the zoo, but that's the way it used to be years ago, but I'm glad they've changed their policy.
Well, first off, thanks for being here today. I think I've learned more about service animals in terms of other types of service animals than I did before. But I'm wondering, there is an organization that's called the International Guide Dog Federation, which is the worldwide certifying body for guide dog schools. And I'm wondering if there is a comparable body for that, the certification and sort of a professional organization for general service animal schools.
Well, funny you should say that. There is an umbrella organization called Assistance Dogs International, ADI. And that is the umbrella organization for all providers who provide dogs for individuals with disabilities other than blindness.
Okay. Hi, my name is Vita. As a responsible guide dog owner, my feeling really about going to the zoo and going to hospitals and emergency rooms is that I guess I feel we should be considerate of other animals and people who, especially in hospitals, may have a lot of equipment attached, and the dog fur might be an issue. So I know maybe a lot of people don't agree with me here, but I guess I just feel, for me, that's responsible. If I go to the zoo and I go near the leopard cage and it makes the leopards distressed, to me, that's not really fair. But just want to know how you felt about that.
Don't all jump at once.
For one more question, and then we'll do one more. Would you like to speak? No.
One more question, or someone who wants a comment?
Yep. Sorry, Judy. Here's Patty.
No, the question was directed to Mr. I've dropped your name.
Wolcott.
To Pete, it was her question was, what is your thoughts on what she said about respecting the rights of?
Well, my
and then
feeling.
I have another question.
I've taken Connor to Balboa Naval Hospital, and the people there were absolutely delighted to have us come and visit the wounded warriors, and with very few exceptions, they were more than happy. These were young guys, a lot of them, you know, 19-year-old Marines who had been really seriously wounded in the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. And many of them had dogs of their own at home, and, you know, they've been in the hospital for months at a time. So being able to see a dog and pet a dog and just have a little bit of a fur fix is what I call it. Really did a lot for their morale. So my experience has been you have to be respectful. There were a couple of instances where I had you know, I would go up to a door and say, knock, knock, does anybody want to have a dog fix or fur fix? And there were a couple of instances where they said, no, thank you, and that was fine. I was more than happy to honor that. But it's been my experience, like I said, that hospitals generally really are happy to see us come with our dogs, because it's an opportunity for people to have a little bit of what they're used to and normal when they're in a very abnormal situation being in a hospital like that. And I know that's true, because as a kid I was in hospitals a lot, having a lot of surgeries for cerebral palsy. And the idea of being able to see a dog while I was in the hospital, I would have been over the moon. So I respect your opinion and understand it, but I think in general there are a lot more positives associated with it than negatives. And as long as we're sensitive to people's wishes, and also the best place to go is to go to the nurse's station, and they will let you know what you can do and can't do. And you can have a really positive experience in that situation.
In the interest of time, I'm going to give up my question just to let you know how wonderful it's been to have you here.
Well, thank you very much for...
All right, and Pete, we do indeed thank you. And I mentioned to Pete, Debbie, that Pete is interested in getting your card so that he can pass that on to CCI as well. Okay, now it's time for some raffles.
Dirt prizes. Okay. When you came in, your name was placed on a piece of paper, and I have somebody who is going to read those names for me. And let me grab a prize first. Is there anybody in the room that didn't get their name on a piece of paper? Okay, we're going to go get a prize from next door.
Okay, wait for them.
There's one person or somebody else, two people maybe.
We need to throw them in and start over.
Oops. There's two that you just gave.
Oh, okay. Okay, if you didn't get your name on a piece of paper, please raise your hand. And we have, if I'm right, like 13 prizes. Yes, we're going to have 13 prizes, at least. Is it just the big? Oh, good. Okay. Okay, the first one is going to be a True Toys. It's shaped like a peace sign.
Okay, the name is Aisha Wendt. Aisha, where are you?
Raise your hand. Okay. And you're getting one of those with. Yeah. And you're also going to get some of the lint rollers with everything. The next one is a Nyla Bone.
Adele, A-D-E-L, good. Adele, yay, okay, good.
Okay, here's a very large Nyla Bone.
Okay, that goes to Rosa Gomez. Rosa, where are you? Oh, there you are.
Okay. The next one is another Nyla Bone and the lint rollers.
Evelyn Drury. Evelyn, okay.
All right, we have a Zoom groom.
Lynn Coates. There you are.
Okay, another large Nyla Bone.
Guillermo.
Okay, another Kong. It's one of the little bouncy ones.
Pete Wolcott.
Okay, this is a Nyla Bone that's got knots on both ends.
Ken Metz.
This is a Kong rubber bone.
Beth Berenson.
The next one is another Nyla bone.
Allison Deppner. Allison?
Okay, here's another Nyla bone.
Boy, what great teamwork. Leslie Tom.
We're getting down there, guys. All right. Oh, hey, this works. Okay, this is another Nyla bone, and you get two of the rollers. Rollers.
I get this. Thank you. I'm laughing. Seriously, this is, I just put my hand in the bag, and I pulled this out. Pam Metz.
Okay. The next two are totes and bags from the guide dog schools. This is from Guide Dogs of the Desert. This one has this is a backpack style.
Ed Crespin. Oh,
hey. This one is a tote and it's got straps on it from Guide Dogs of America.
And the final lucky person, Laureen Thevney. Laureen? Laureen. Laureen. L-O-R-E-E-N. Do we have a Laureen? You have to be here to win. Okay. Going once, going twice, picking a new name. Vita.
Okay, I'm going to run this back over to our dear president.
Yeah, before I go, I wanted to take the opportunity to thank you guys very much for allowing us to come to Viejas, otherwise known as Lost Wages Southwest. But on behalf of myself and everyone at CCI, thank you so much for the opportunity to come and speak with you today. Also, Connor is not a great fan of Kongs, and anybody whose dog is a really great fan of Kongs, I'd be more than happy to. Besides, this is the first time an honorarium has been given in the form of a Kong. But anyway, like I said, thank you so much for the opportunity to come and speak with you all today. It's been a real honor and a privilege, and we're, on behalf of CCI, we're very grateful. Oh, that's right. Unfortunately, they're not in Braille, but I do have some brochures for your sighted friends up here that are more. You're more than welcome to take as many as you wish. I'll leave a whole bunch of them here for you. Thanks a lot.
And Pete, I want to thank you again. This is Ken. Just want to really thank you for being our speaker. Great program. I knew Dr. Bergen when she, just a few years after she started CCI, and I've been on a couple of panel discussions with her in the past, and what a wonderful, wonderful person. Wish you all the best, and if there's anything we can do to help you guys out as well, maybe there's sometime you and I can talk together and we can do some mutual things. I know that Corey Hudson had a Corey Hudson had a petition that a lot of us had signed regarding, there were some things regarding some of the fake service animal issues, and so we're all involved in this type of thing together, and hopefully we can do some mutual work, and we'll see how that goes, and especially with our bills in the legislature. So thanks again for being with us. I want to thank all of you for being here at our luncheon. You can still pay your... You can get a dog treat, lamb jerky on the way out. And if you still want to join or pay your renewal dues, you can do that. Vita will take your money with no problem. And she's right there. You can hear her. And if not, you have until 2:30 at the exhibit room. Okay? Thanks again. We need to clear the room calmly, peacefully, not shoving each other, and no high sticking with harnesses. Have a great day, and thank you. And thanks to Alice, too, for a great program.